Hello, everyone. I'm Steve. I'm a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and I'm going to be bringing you the Arizona Daily Star for today, the 25th of November, 2025. It's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. I thought before we went to the Star, we'd go ahead and move over to the Tucson weather, see what that does for us today. Warmer today with warming trend continuing to Friday before cooler than normal temperatures return to the area Sunday and Monday. Dry conditions through this Saturday before a weather system potentially brings another chance of valley rain and mountain snow Sunday and Monday. So there you have it, folks. That's the National Weather Service's synopsis of the weather for the next few days. A warmer Thanksgiving is in store. So let's go ahead and now move over to the Arizona Daily Star for today, the 25th of November, 2025. And I'm going to start it on the front page and read the titles of our front page stories this morning. Let's see, the first one opens with a picture of a bunch of folks in an airport lobby all standing around, and it says, predicted holiday travel, packed airports, and I'll be telling you a little bit about that in just a moment. Also, optimism in Ukraine, peace proposals is the next story, and we have a few more. Judge dismisses Comey and James indictments. And then finally, Pentagon investigating Senator Mark Kelly. Let's go ahead and go to that first front page story about packed airports. The turbulence caused by a long government shutdown on record, the longest actually on record, may still be fresh on travelers' minds this Thanksgiving. But experts say preparing for the usual holiday crush of winter weather, heavy traffic, and crowded airports can help ease those jitters. Quote, I think the shutdown at this point is history for air travel. The airlines understand this time of year so well. They know exactly what they need to do, unquote, said Sheldon H. Jacobson, an airport and airlines operations expert. The real challenge is making sure travelers can help themselves. Here's a guide. Here's a guide to navigating the busiest travel week of the year. How busy could it be? Well, travel forecasts point to packed airports and roads a week after lifting the unprecedented flight restrictions it placed on commercial airlines during the shutdown. The Federal Aviation Administration is preparing for its busiest Thanksgiving week in 15 years, with more than 360,000 flights scheduled between Monday and next Tuesday. That's more than 17.8 million people who will be screened by the Transportation Security Administration, otherwise known as TSA. AAA projects 1.3 million more travelers will be on the roads than last year, pushing the total number of people traveling by car to at least 73 million. Well, here's another to be prepared for: winter weather. You can't control the weather, but you can control how prepared you are if a winter storm hits. If your flight is canceled or delayed, will you drive instead, or postpone or cancel your trip? Knowing your options ahead of time can reduce stress if a storm leaves you stranded. James Bellinger, Vice President of Meteorology at the Weather Company, recommends checking the forecast frequently while planning your trip. The Weather Channel offers a Thanksgiving weekly forecast highlighting major airports and highways that could be affected by bad weather, including snow, ice, and rain, along with a free online tool that shows how the weather might impact your travel route. On Tuesday, the FAA's busiest day with more than 52,000 flights scheduled, forecasters say rain could cause problems in the Pacific Northwest and for much of the eastern U.S. Airports in Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. could be impacted, according to the Weather Channel. Another tip, what to pack and what to skip. Jacobson, whose research contributed to the design of TSA PreCheck, recommends starting your packing by unpacking. Check every pocket in case TSA restricted items like full-sized bottles were left behind from a previous trip. This simple scan can help you get through security faster, especially when airports are crowded. If you're traveling with gifts, Jacobson suggests wrapping them at your destination because TSA agents may need to inspect them. When deciding which clothes and shoes to pack, Bellinger says to check the, quote, feels like, unquote, temperature for a better sense of the weather, especially if you're not used to the cold. So there you have it, folks. Some tips on traveling on packed Thanksgiving. Next front page story. Is optimism in Ukraine peace proposals? Well, European officials said Monday they were comforted by the outcome of discussions on U.S. peace proposals for Ukraine that they had viewed as tilted in Russia's favor, but they didn't disclose details of the weekend talks and warned of a long road to peace in Ukraine. The negotiations were a step forward, but there are still major issues which remain to be resolved, Finnish President Alexander Stubb wrote on social media platform X about Sunday's meeting in Switzerland between U.S. and Ukrainian officials. U.S. President Donald Trump suggested Monday that the process could be moving in the right direction. Quote, is it really possible that big progress is being made in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine? Question mark. Don't believe it until you see it, but something good just may be happening, unquote, he wrote in a post on the Truth Social platform. The talks in Geneva covered a 28-point peace plan presented last week by the United States that triggered alarm in Kiev and European capitals by heavily favoring Moscow's demands and goals following its invasion of its neighbor nearly 4 years ago. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, that's M-E-R-Z, Merz, welcomed the, quote, interim result, unquote, of the talk, saying the U.S. proposal has now been modified in significant parts. He cautioned, however, it was possible to clear up some questions, but we also know that there won't be peace in Ukraine overnight. The plan pressed Ukraine to consent to handing over some of its territory to Moscow and slashing the size of its army, leaving it vulnerable. The proposal also sought Europe's agreement that Ukraine will never be admitted into the NATO military alliance, though the alliance has previously said Ukraine is on an irreversible path to membership. So that's a little bit of an update, folks, on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Optimism in Ukraine peace proposals, reads the title of the article. Now let's look. Judge dismisses Comey and James indictments. A federal judge has dismissed the criminal cases against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James, concluding that the prosecutor who brought the charges at President Donald Trump's urging was illegally appointed by the Justice Department. The rulings from U.S. District Judge Cameron McGowan Curry amount to a stunning rebuke of the Trump administration's efforts to target Trump's political opponents. It also highlights its legal maneuvering to hastily install a loyalist prosecutor willing to file the cases. The orders make Lindsey Halligan the latest Trump administration prosecutor to be disqualified because of the manner in which they were appointed. Both defendants had asked for the cases to be dismissed with prejudice, meaning that the Justice Department would not be able to bring them again. But the judge instead dismissed them summarily without prejudice, though it was not immediately clear if or how the Justice Department might attempt to revive the prosecutions. Monday's order deals exclusively with the mechanism the Trump administration employed to appoint Halligan, a former White House aide with no prior prosecutorial experience, to lead one of the Justice Department's most elite and important offices. Halligan was named to the job in September after a different interim U.S. attorney, Eric Siebert, was effectively forced out amid pressure from the Trump administration to file charges against Comey and James. So that's a little bit, folks, on judge dismissing the Comey and James indictments. Our last front page story, Pentagon investigating Senator Mark Kelly. Investigation comes after Kelly released a video urging troops to defy illegal orders. The Pentagon says it is investigating Democratic Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona for possible breaches of military law after Kelly joined a handful of other lawmakers in a video that called for U.S. troops to refuse unlawful orders. The Pentagon statement, which was posted on social media on Monday, cited a federal law that allows retired service members to be recalled to active duty on orders of the Defense Secretary for possible court-martial or other measures. Kelly served in the U.S. Navy as a firefighter pilot before going on to become an astronaut. He retired at the rank of captain. That's the latest on the Pentagon investigating Senator Mark Kelly. I'm going to have a little bit more on these stories about the judge dismissing Comey and James and also the Mark Kelly case when I get to the Nation and World part of the Star this morning. Now, let's go on to look at the local news in the Tucson and region section of the Arizona Daily Star. And if you're just joining us, welcome. It's Thanksgiving week. Welcome to Thanksgiving week. I'm Steve, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm reading the Arizona Daily Star for today, the 25th of November, 2025. And let's see, there are several stories here in the local news this morning. Ghost networks leave families searching is one story. That's ghost networks. Let's see, the court is saying to the Arizona Corporation Commission, the ACC, not so fast on approving utility rate hikes. And let's see, are there a couple of more stories? Let's see, yes. Turning point support for Vance in the works for 2028. Turning Point, that's that conservative organization led by the late Charlie Kirk. Let's see, Kelly decries GOP silence on Trump attack as, quote, crickets, unquote, unquote. So there we have it. Those are the titles of the stories. Let's go to the first one. Ghost networks leave families searching. And it opens with a picture of a fellow going down to the trauma room in the emergency center. And it has a caption, companies that operate private Medicare Advantage and Medicaid managed care plans often have inflated and inaccurate lists of psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, and other mental health providers they say are available to subscriber, a recent report found. Well, let's see what that's about. Joseph DiMarco was about to turn 19 when he first showed the signs of severe mental health condition. By then, his family had already switched insurance plans from TRICARE, a health plan for military personnel, retirees, and their families, to Mercy Care, a large nonprofit insurer that contracts with Access, Arizona's Medicaid program. Joseph's mother, Sita DeMarco, said they never struggled to find mental health providers under TRICARE. There was a large list. The carrier was very easy to work with, DeMarco said, a mother of three and a behavioral health professional. I didn't contact a provider that was no longer enrolled with TRICARE. Things changed after the switch, she said. Each and every time I contacted Mercy Care to identify a provider in the network, they direct you to a website with a list, she said. It would take days to go through that list and find a provider that is active and enrolled with Mercy. She said they didn't find a competent provider until 2025, nearly 10 years later. The impact extends beyond inconvenience. Specifically, without timely care, people with serious mental illness often experience worsening symptoms, instability, or repeated crises. DeMarco's experience reflects what federal investigators have identified as, quote, ghost networks, unquote. A ghost network is really a directory of providers that's just largely unreachable, out of network, or doesn't accept new patients, said Meredith Seif, Deputy Regional Inspector General and co-author of the recent report from the Office of Inspector General, the OIG, at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Companies that operate private Medicare Advantage and Medicaid managed care plans have inflated and inaccurate lists of psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, and other mental health providers they say are available to subscribers, the report found. That runs counter to federal rules requiring plans to keep their directories current. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services mandates updates every quarter or within 30 days when a provider's status changes. Arizona is not new to the managed care model, which means the state does not directly provide or administer most care. The state pioneered Medicaid and managed care by creating Access, that's A-H-C-C-C-X, Access, that's Access, the first mandatory statewide program, funded mainly by the federal government, with the remaining quarter covered by the state. The program's proposed budget for fiscal 2025 is approximately $22.3 billion. Private insurers that contract with Access to deliver most of the physical and behavioral health services to eligible Arizonans are paid monthly per member capitation payments from those public funds. So that's a little bit, folks, on ghost networks are leaving families searching. Let's move on. The court says to the Arizona Corporation Commission, not so fast on approving utility rate hikes. The State Court of Appeals has thrown a hurdle into Arizona Corporation Commission efforts to expedite utilities rate hike requests. In a unanimous decision, the judges said the Residential Utility Consumer Office should be given the chance to prove that the process to review rate increases, which the All-Republican Commission adopted last year, is a formal rule requiring extensive hearings. The three-judge panel declined to simply accept commissioners' arguments that it was a policy change that they were free to make without the public input required for a new rule. The ruling means that on pending rate increases, the Corporation Commission cannot use the truncated approval process it adopted until there is a final decision on whether the commission acted illegally. All that is a win for the Residential Utility Consumer Office, otherwise known as RUCO or RUCO. Cynthia Zwick, that's Z-W-I-C-K, RUCO's director, said the evidence shows the process adopted by the commission and pushed by utilities could result in higher rates for customers without the previous opportunities to object. The new ruling gives her attorneys a chance to keep the new process from becoming implemented. The commission may appeal, so we need to stay tuned for that one. And that one was called, that article, Court to the Arizona Corporation Commission, not so fast on approving utility rate hikes. Let's move on to the last couple of local stories this morning. Turning Point support for Vance in the works for 2028. Turning Point's support of Vice President J.D. Vance is, quote, in the works, unquote, for the 2028 presidential race, Erica Kirk told conservative commentator Megyn Kelly at her Glendale Live show. That was a thing that my husband was very direct about, Erica Kirk said. It was, interestingly enough, one of the last few conversations we had. It was how intentional he was about supporting J.D. for 28. Erica Kirk's husband, the conservative activist Charlie Kirk, was assassinated 2 months ago. She discussed her husband's death and the future of his political organization in an hour-long sit-down meeting with Megyn Kelly. She appeared with Kelly at Desert Diamond Arena in Glendale on Saturday. Thousands of people attended the event, which was the final stop on Kelly's nationwide tour. Charlie Kirk was the architect of Turning Point, a network of conservative groups aimed at bringing young people into the conservative movement. The organization was credited with boosting turnout for Donald Trump in 2024. Kelly pressed Erica Kirk several times about whether her organization would back Vance in the upcoming presidential primary. Erica Kirk said she was still enjoying Trump's 2024 win, but noted Charlie Kirk was a close Vance ally. He boosted Vance's Ohio State campaign and encouraged Trump to choose him as his running mate. And then finally, in local news, Kelly decries GOP silence on Trump attack and calls his Republican colleagues crickets, quote unquote. Senator Mark Kelly bemoaned what he called an evident lack of concern from the Republicans for the safety of himself and other Democrats after President Donald Trump accused them of, quote, sedition, unquote, and suggested they should be hanged. Appearing Sunday on CBS's Face the Nation, Kelly connected Trump's overheated social media messaging to the GOP's outrage over politically motivated violence after the September 10th assassination of Charlie Kirk. Quote, what happened to that? I mean, that was 2 months ago, unquote, said Kelly, a Tucson Democrat. Quote, where are they now? We've heard very little, basically crickets, from the Republicans in the United States Congress about what the president has said about hanging members of Congress, unquote. Kelly said Trump tries to intimidate Republicans so they don't speak out. He also trashed, did Kelly, the White House peace terms for Ukraine and its war with Russia. Kelly drew Trump's ire with a social media post featuring five other Democrats reminding members of the military they are not obligated to obey illegal orders. Quote, we know you are under enormous pressure right now, unquote, the video message said. It did not specify what exactly the military might view as the illegal orders, though it comes as the U.S. is drawing international attention for strikes on boats in international waters and pressuring Venezuela. Quote, our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders, unquote, Kelly, a former Navy combat pilot and member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said. So there you have it. Those are the local stories this morning. The first one was about ghost networks. The second one about rate utility hikes not so fast, ACC, and a couple of other stories. Turning Point support for Vance in the works for 2028, and Kelly decries the GOP silence on Trump attack, on the Trump attack of him and others. He calls the Republican colleagues crickets. So that's a little bit on the local news this morning. So let's go ahead and move on to the business section of the Arizona Daily Star. Here we go. The business section talks about Frida Kahlo, a haunting 1940 self-portrait by famed Mexican artist Frida Kahlo, that's K-A-H-L-O, sold Thursday for $54.7 million and became the top-selling work by any female artist at an auction. The painting of Kahlo asleep in the bed is titled El Sueño, which translates as The Dream. It surpassed the record held by Georgia O'Keeffe's Jimson Weed / White Flower number one, which sold for $44.4 million in 2014. The sale at Sotheby's in New York also topped Kahlo's own auction record for a work by a Latin American artist. The 1949 painting Diego and I, depicting the artist and her husband, muralist Diego Rivera, went for $34.9 million in 2021. Her paintings are reported to have sold privately for even more. Wow, how about that? Frida Kahlo. Now let's go ahead and move on to an ad that brings Christmassy scent to New York subway. And they open with a picture of a person walking past posters promoting the campaign by Bath and Body Works at Grand Central Station. A trip through New York's crowded subway system usually offers a pungent mix of, well, industrial and bodily aromas, it says here in the piece. But inside a stretch of Grand Central Station this holiday season, the air smells of vanilla and fresh pine. The scent is part of a novel advertising campaign for Bath and Body Works, which is pumping the fragrance into the 42nd Street shuttle train platform through November. Many commuters don't pause to take notice of the diffusers that have been attached to a steel girder over the platform and along the walls of a connecting tunnel. Those who look up can see them releasing visible bursts of vapor. Bath and Body Works estimates that 20 to 30 pounds of fragrance will be dispersed by the end of the month when the campaign ends. It smells better than the normal New York City tunnels that we normally smell here, commuter Jerome Murray said. So yes, I appreciate it. And let's look at Thanksgiving, and let's look at grocery stores and see what's open and what's closed for us. Holiday hours. A look at which brick-and-mortar stores will be open or closed. If you need to make last-minute trips to the grocery store or want to get a jump on Black Friday shopping on Thanksgiving, you might arrive to find the store closed. In some cases, open may mean open for reduced hours, and stores may open later and close earlier than normal on the holiday. In some situations, certain sections of the store, such as the pharmacy or deli, might be closed. Retailer hours and Thanksgiving Day policies vary by location, so don't assume that your local store will have the same hours that the national chain might advertise. To be safe, take the time to verify store hours before you travel. Here's a look at what retailers are announcing for this year's Thanksgiving holiday. Convenience stores that will be open on Thanksgiving: Big Lots, CVS, Dollar General, Family Dollar, and Walgreens. It says while most Walgreens stores are going to be closed, the 24-hour locations will remain open. How about major retailers? Well, major retailers that will be open on Thanksgiving: Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Major retailers that are going to be closed on Thanksgiving: Best Buy, Home Depot, IKEA, JCPenney, Kohl's, Lowe's, Nordstrom, REI, Sephora, Target, Ulta, and Walmart. Oh, how about grocery stores? Grocery stores, they're going to be open on Thanksgiving. Albertsons, Acme, Food Lion, Giant Food, Kroger, that varies by location, Meijer, that's M-E-I-J-E-R, Ralph's, Safeway, Wegmans, Whole Foods Market. That's 10, the Whole Foods is 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. locally with exceptions. Grocery stores that are going to be closed on Thanksgiving. Listen up, please. Aldi, BJ's Wholesale, Costco, Publix, Sam's Club, Target, Trader Joe's, Walmart, Winn-Dixie. There you have it. So you've got grocery chains that are going to be open, some with reduced hours. You're going to be having grocery chains that are closed. We got convenience stores that are going to be open, like Big Lots and CVS, Dollar and Family Dollar, and Walgreens, 24-hour location is going to be open. And most big box and department stores will be closed on Thanksgiving, including retail giants such as Walmart and Target. So there you have it, folks. A little bit about business today. Now let's go ahead and move on to the nation and world section of the Arizona Daily Star. And that's down on page 27. Almost there. There we go. Page 27 of the Star opens with nation and world. And some of these stories were on the front page, so I'm just going to summarize those in briefs. And the first one is Pentagon probes senator. And that's Kelly was among vets in video urging troops to defy illegal orders. The Pentagon announced Monday it will investigate Democratic Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona over possible breaches of military law after the former Navy pilot joined a handful of other lawmakers in a video that called for troops to defy illegal orders. And I've already read quite a few details on that story. Here's one that's called The War in Ukraine, and that was also on the front page. And we're seeing that the officials are saying that the peace plan is progressing. Kiev ruled out giving up territory, and Russia has yet to see changes. Officials said Monday progress was being made in urgent weekend talks on amending the U.S. peace proposal for Ukraine that many saw as favoring Russia. But the Kremlin said it hadn't seen the changes. Washington's 28-point plan presented last week caused alarm by heavily aligning with Moscow's demands in the nearly four-year war caused by Moscow's invasion. So that's a little bit of short news on officials say peace plan is progressing in terms of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Here's one that talks about a White House circulating a plan to keep subsidies. Draft suggests GOP could be open to Obamacare extension. The White House is circulating a proposal that would extend subsidies to help consumers pay for coverage under the Affordable Care Act for two more years, as millions of Americans face spiking health care costs when the tax credit are set to expire at the end of the year. The draft plan suggests President Donald Trump is open to extending a provision of Obamacare as his administration and congressional Republicans search for a broader policy solution to a fight that has flummoxed the party for a long time. Until President Trump makes an announcement himself, any reporting about the administration's health care positions is mere speculation, White House spokesman Kush Desai said Monday. The subsidies were at the heart of the Democrats' demands in the government shutdown fight that ended this month. And in case you're wondering, folks, that noise is the landscapers outside of the house where this program is being broadcast. Nothing I can do about it. Okay, so let's go on and talk about the DOJ. It renews efforts to unseal the Epstein materials. The judge said grand jury info pales in comparison to other documents. the Justice Department renewed its request Monday to unseal Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking grand jury materials, saying Congress made clear in approving the release of investigative materials related to the prosecution of the late financier that documents such as court records should be released. U.S. Attorney Clayton, that's Jay Clayton, cited the Epstein Files Transparency Act, passed by Congress last week and signed by President Donald Trump, in court filings asking Manhattan federal judges Richard Berman and Paul Engelmeyer to reconsider their decisions to keep the material sealed. Berman, who presided over Epstein's 2019 case, ruled in August that, quote, a significant and compelling reason, unquote, to deny the request and keep the transcripts sealed was that information contained in the transcripts, quote, pales in comparison, unquote, to investigative information and materials already in the Justice Department's possession. Engelmeyer invited Maxwell and victims of Maxwell and Epstein to respond by December 3rd to the government's request. The government must respond to their filings by December 10th. The judge said he will rule promptly thereafter. And here's another story here in Nation and World. It's about the White House circulating a plan to keep subsidies. The White House is suggesting or circulating a proposal that would extend subsidies to help consumers pay for the Affordable Care Act. And let's see, let me go to the next set of stories on the Nation and World section of the Star. And it involves administration to review Biden-era refugee cases. The Trump administration plans a review of all refugees admitted to the U.S. during the Biden administration, according to a memo obtained Monday by the Associated Press, in the latest blow against a program that has for decades welcomed people fleeing war and persecution into the country. The review is likely to sow confusion and fear among the nearly 200,000 refugees who came to the United States during that period. The memo said that during the Biden years, expediency and quantity were prioritized over, quote, detailed screening and vetting, unquote. The memo said that warranted a comprehensive re-review and re-interview of all refugees admitted from January 2021 to February 2025. Next in line here in the Nation and World section, Trump and Xi make plans for reciprocal visits. President Donald Trump said Monday he accepted an invitation from Chinese leader Xi Jinping to visit Beijing in April, and that he reciprocated by inviting Xi for a state visit to the U.S. later next year. Trump made the announcement after he spoke with Xi by phone nearly a month after the two leaders met in person in South Korea, saying they discussed issues including Ukraine, fentanyl, and purchases of American soybeans. Beijing, which announced the phone call first, said nothing about the state visits, but that the two leaders discussed trade, Taiwan, and Ukraine. Xi told Trump that Taiwan's return to mainland China is, quote, an integral part of the post-war international order, unquote, according to the Chinese Foreign Ministry. And now, in brief, in Puerto Rico, General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and President Donald Trump's primary military advisor, was scheduled to visit American troops Monday in Puerto Rico and on a Navy warship in the region where the U.S. has amassed an unusually large fleet of warships. On to space travel. Boeing and NASA announced an agreement Monday to keep astronauts off the company's next Starliner flight and instead perform a trial run with cargo to prove its safety. 8 months ago, the first and only Starliner crew returned to Earth aboard SpaceX after a prolonged mission blamed on mechanical problems. Next up, on to London. DBC Chairman Samir Shah, that's S-H-A-H, Samir Shah, acknowledged at a hearing Monday that it was too slow in responding to a misleading edit of a speech by U.S. President Donald Trump, but rejected claims that the broadcaster's impartiality was being undermined from within its own board. On to Brazil. Brazil's Supreme Court upheld former President Jair Bolsonaro's incarceration Monday after he admitted to trying to break his ankle monitor while under house arrest. A justice saw the action as an attempt to escape and avoid a 27-year prison sentence for leading a coup attempt. Next, the Gaza Strip. The U.S. and Israel and Israel-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which was set up to distribute aid to Gaza, but which Palestinians said endangered lives of civilians as they tried to get food, said Monday it would shutter operations. On to Colombia. And that's our last one this morning, our last short piece. Immigration authorities in Colombia took 17 children into protective custody after they were rescued from an ultra-Orthodox Jewish sect whose members were accused of sexually abusing and kidnapping minors, officials said Monday. And there you have it, folks. That is the nation and world. And sorry for the interruption. We had a little bit of landscaping going on, and our family dog was saying good morning to them, I guess. All right, so now I want to move on to sports. And it is time, as usual, when we go to sports, to request our listeners bear down. Here we go, sports. And some of you are probably excited for me to read about sports this morning. D for defense dominates in second half. This is Arizona Wildcats football. And it opens with a picture of Arizona defensive coordinator Danny Gonzalez and the defensive unit watching the big screen replays. If Arizona's defense was, let's just say, a boxer, the Wildcats wouldn't have many first round knockouts on their resume. Sometimes they'll take a jab or two to the face before settling into the fight. It doesn't change how effective the Wildcats have been on that side of the ball and how many wins they've accrued in the boxing ring. Actually, the football field, it says here. In the last three games of Arizona's four-game winning streak, the Wildcats were on the ropes in the early stages of the game, but pieced together master classes in the second half of each contest. Like Saturday, Arizona trailed Kansas 17-14 at halftime, but kept the Jayhawks just 6 points in the second half, despite the Jayhawks' dominating time of possession. 19 minutes and 40 seconds to the Wildcats' 10 minutes and 20 seconds in the second half. And they won 24-20 to officially clinch a bowl berth. And Arizona's upset win over the 25th-ranked Cincinnati on the road last week, the Bearcats were on pace for 560 rushing yards after the first quarter and had 140 rushing yards on just 8 carries. However, Arizona's defense held the balanced Bearcats to 41 rushing yards in the second half after trailing 14-10 at halftime against Cincinnati. The Wildcats outscored the Bearcats 20-10 to win on the road. Once again, Arizona found itself losing at halftime for the third consecutive game when the Wildcats were trailing Baylor 17-14 after the Bears' elite passing attack picked up 14 first downs in the first half. Baylor's quarterback Sawyer Robertson, who entered Saturday with the most passing yards in college football, set the tone with a passing touchdown to Baylor's leading receiver Josh Cameron and a rushing touchdown. After a pair of touchdowns by Robertson, the Bears only scored 3 points the rest of the way, and Robertson had 40 passing yards in the second half, sparked by senior defensive back Traydon Stokes interception in the end zone. Arizona scored 27 unanswered points and forced 3 takeaways and 2 fourth down stops in the fourth quarter en route to a 41-17 win over a desperate Baylor team that's fighting for bowl eligibility. How about that, folks? Time to bear down. Well, what's next for the Arizona Wildcats? Arizona, which is 8-3, it's 5 wins and 3 losses in the conference, 8-3 total in games. Well, we're playing the Sun Devils next Friday, 7 p.m. Friday, where Mountain America Stadium in Tempe, and you can watch it on Fox Sports. So there you have it. Let's go, 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 Wildcats. Time to bear down. So our last article is about women's basketball. Ari McDonald talks UA and pro journey. Well, as soon as she walked through the doors of McHale Center, the memories came flooding back for Ari McDonald, fueling the rise of Arizona women's basketball, winning the WNIT championship, building a relationship with fans who will love her forever. She said, "It's always a pleasure to be back at Arizona." And she said that Friday night before a game played in her honor, "I call this place home. It shaped me into the person and the player that I have become." McDonald and the Wildcats came as close to winning a national title as possible without actually doing so, falling one shot short in the 2021 NCAA tournament championship game. She became the 3rd overall pick in the WNBA draft a few months later and just completed her 5th season in the league. Year 5 was disrupted by injury, a broken right foot suffered in early August, but it came with a silver lining. If she hadn't been rehabbing, McDonald might have been playing overseas last week. Instead, she was able to work a trip to Tucson into her schedule before starting something new in January. McDonald will be playing for the Breeze in Unrivaled. That's the Breeze in Unrivaled, the women's 3-on-3 league that was launched last year. Her teammates include Cameron Brink and Paige Buchers, both of whom battled McDonald in the 2021 Final Four. Before speaking to the media and addressing the crowd at halftime of Arizona's game against NAU, McDonald met with the current Wildcats. She offered herself as a resource for Becky Burke and her team, which hosts Northern Colorado today. "It felt good to meet the ladies," McDonald said. "I've been watching. I'm a fan of theirs. I just told them, if you can see me, you can be me. If they need anything, just reach out to me and I will be there for them." McDonald discussed the Wildcats of the past and the present, her journey as a pro basketball player, and what it's like to be teammates with Caitlin Clark, among other topics. Highlights of that conversation can be found in the November 25th, 2025 sports section of the Arizona Daily Star. So let's go ahead and now end the broadcast this morning with a little bit on Tucson giving. And some of us know a lot about Tucson giving because of the Star's coverage of it, but also because Tucson is such a giving community. So let's move on to Tucson giving. And the first one is about a Tucson car show. It's a holiday toy drive, and it's the 3rd annual Toys for Hope car show to benefit Be the Light Ministries. It's noon to 4 p.m. Saturday, December 7th. Noon to 4 p.m. Saturday, December 7th. And it's going to be at 4700 South Landing Way. That's near Interstate 19 and West Irvington Road. Entry fee or admission to the show is new unwrapped toy, a new unwrapped toy valued at $10 or a cash donation of $20. So let's read a little bit of detail on this one. Ryan Collins is literally rolling into the most wonderful time of the year, hoping to bring cheer to the kids in need from South Tucson. All in all, we are blessed to be a blessing and to be able to do this. It's not just about giving a gift, but being able to interact with each child and remind them they are special and loved. We want to inspire them and encourage them, said Collins, the organizer of Toys for Hope Car Show and a supporter of Be the Light Ministries. Last year's show welcomed about 350 cars and more than 1,500 spectators. Collins said it was a great way to herald the Christmas season. It was so much fun, he said. There was a very big and diverse crowd and everything cars from the 1920s to brand new. We are hoping to make it even bigger. The more people we get, the more toys we get, and the more people we are able to bless, said Collins, who is paying forward gifts he received during his youth when times were difficult for his family. I know what it did for our spirits during the holiday season, he said. He credits Tucson's thriving auto and motorcycle communities for their generosity in bringing the joy year after year. My father did motorcycle shows in town and built cars, and we were part of that community. Motorcycle and car enthusiasts are very generous people. Be the Light works with shelters in Tucson, works with shelters citywide and organizations such as Teen Challenge of Arizona and Springboard Home to distribute the toys and provide basic needs such as food and hygiene products. Collins said the goal is to collect at least 2,000 toys for children in need. We really want to help community organizations that work with mothers or fathers with addiction who are getting reunited with their children. Being on the sober path is hard, and we want to help give them one less stress around the holidays. So, once again, a little bit of information. If you go, it's the third annual Toys for Hope Car Show. It's noon to four Saturday, December 7th. It's going to be at the main event, 4700 South Landing Way, near Interstate 10 and West Irvington Road. And donations of new toys will also be accepted on site. All toys will benefit Be the Light Ministries, which provides toys to low-income children in South Tucson and Mexico. If you're interested, please go and support these folks. And then finally, to end this morning's broadcast, Tucson's Teddy Bear Trot set for Thanksgiving weekend. What's this about? Well, Fleet Feet has the perfect recipe for your post-Thanksgiving weekend. Specifically, the Teddy Bear Trot offers Tucsonans the opportunity to work off their feasts while supporting Small Businesses Saturday at Small Business Saturday and helping out a local nonprofit. Slated to begin at 8 a.m. on Saturday, November 29th at Fleet Feet. And their address is 7301 East Tanca Verde Road. That's Fleet Feet, 7301 East Tanca Verde Road. The event offers a family-friendly walk or run for all ages at nearby Udall Park. Udall Park's right across the street from Fleet Feet. And if you're interested, just Google this Teddy Bear Trot for registration information. There is no registration fee, but donation of a new teddy bear is requested. We thought this would be a fun way to spread the word about the Children's Advocacy Center. We are doing it on Thanksgiving weekend and playing off the turkey trot theme with the teddy bear trot to collect teddy bears for kids the center is working with, said Ann Stansil, the owner of Fleet Feet and a board member for the center. For more than 25 years, the Children's Advocacy Center offered a safe, compassionate, healing environment for children who have been a victim or witness to a crime. Stancil, that's Ann Stancil, said the teddy bear trot is a partnership with Carhu, that's K-A-R-H-U, Carhu, a line of running shoes made in Finland that are available exclusively at Fleet Feet. Carhu means bear in Finnish, and Fleet Feet franchises nationwide participate in campaigns that collect teddy bears for local charities. We are asking people to bring a plush teddy bear, and hopefully folks will feel generous and offer a monetary donation as well. But that is not required. We will be taking donations at the event, or people can give a donation online when they register. It all goes directly to the Advocacy Center, which not only benefits families and kids, but is a great resource for the law enforcement community, Stancil said. The center offers a wide range of services, including forensic interviews by specially trained examiners for abuse victims, medical evaluations, exams, mandatory child abuse training reporting, advocacy for family and non-offending family members, and assistance with resources such as food, clothing, and more for victims and family members in need. Approximately 1,400 children and their families receive services each year. This is a space that serves children and their families who are victims of trauma and abuse, whether the child has witnessed or been directly a victim of abuse. And it is a place where all the staff is specially trained and works closely with law enforcement in Southern Arizona. So, to learn more, just go to Fleet Feet, fleetfeet.com, and learn about the Children's Advocacy Center there, or at www.cacsoaz.org. And that about does it for me this morning. Once again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you for the privilege of your time, and I'm wishing you the best of goodbyes.